Welcome and thanks for joining Deacon Ryan, the people's platform and community where like-minded people come together to gather, pray, and above all, share our love for both God and one another. That's Here with Deacon Ryan. Let's pray.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are the blessed, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for me, for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy Feast of the Solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. The final Sunday of Ordinary Time, signaling that we are just 1 week away from the first Sunday of Advent, the start of a new liturgical season, the start of a new liturgical year. For some men here, this starts the 30-day countdown until they start Christmas shopping. And for some families, this weekend finally resolves the conflict over when we can start decorating for Christmas. Despite repeating this cycle year after year, there's an excitement as we enter Advent, for we start by preparing for the birth of Christ and for his promised return to judge the living and the dead. During the Christmas season, we celebrate the Nativity, the visit of the Magi, and then we jump forward in time to the baptism of our Lord. We then enter into one of the two periods of ordinary time, those times which are anything but ordinary. We journey with Jesus as he starts his public ministry, as he chooses his disciples, as he heals and teaches, as he slowly journeys towards Jerusalem. And then we enter Lent, that intense period of preparation to prepare to experience his passion, his resurrection and exaltation, that we celebrate at Easter. And then we journey with the early church as they sought to take all of the teachings and the gifts they received at Pentecost and apply them to their ministry to seek to spread the gospel to the four corners of the earth. It's a journey through the Christ event. It's a journey through salvation history that leads us to this weekend, the solemnity of Christ the King, a day that Pope Pius VI established in response to the rampant secularism and atheism of the 1920s. He wrote that to thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of public life would result in continuing discord among people and nations. This solemnity reminds us that while governments come and go, Christ reigns as King forever. Now, for some, this reminder of Pope Pius VI will bring consolation that even after the governments of Donald Trump and Joe Biden have come and gone, Christ will continue to reign as the King of the universe. But this day means more than just that. For Christ's kingship, it transcends political considerations. St. Athanasius taught, he taught that as God, he is king by nature, but as man, he has become king through his work of salvation. The Son is king by nature. Jesus Christ became king through the cross. That's what we celebrate here today. That is why we end the liturgical season with this particular feast. In his typical fashion, Bishop Barron speaks very plainly about Christ the King. He said, "All the other celebrations of the year are leading us towards this conclusion that Christ must be King. If we say anything but that, we are basically horsing around with Christianity and not living it seriously. We're to live our Christianity seriously, and to do so, we must acknowledge Christ as our King." And Pope Pius VI, he told us the extent of what this means. He said, "He must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truths and to the doctrines of Christ. He must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to Him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, or to use the words of the Apostle Paul, as instruments of justice unto God." But is simply acknowledging Christ as King enough? In our battle against secularism and atheism and all the evils of the world today, a battle which has only intensified since the 1920s, is driving around with a "Honk If You Love Jesus" sticker on the back of your car, or a rosary hanging from your rearview mirror, or saying "God bless you" when somebody sneezes, are these proclamations of faith in the kingship of Jesus Christ enough? Or is there some larger role that we have to play? Revelation casts some light on this. Revelation 14 tells us, "They will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful." My friends, in this war against the Lamb, the called, the chosen and faithful are not just saved, they're with Him in battle. In the spiritual war that's raging today, each and every one of us is called to participate, and what is at stake is not lines on a map, but souls. And while learning apologetics and studying philosophy and theology are all important to prepare for this battle, today I want us to prepare in a different way by listening to these words. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours, my friends, are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. This teaching of St. Teresa of Avila is likely not what you're expecting when we think of preparing for spiritual battle. But my friends, we must remember that Jesus Christ didn't establish his kingdom through military campaigns or by forcing his will upon others. He didn't demand conversion. Instead, he exercised servant leadership. He came not to be served, but to serve. Service that would be expressed by teaching and the occasional display of righteous anger, but also by healing, by loving, by weeping, by giving his life on the cross for us, all of us. And following his model is the principal way in which we are to fight this spiritual battle. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, it is infinitely, infinitely harder than picking up arms and going to war or beating someone in a theological argument. To understand that Christ has no body now but yours is to understand the gospel that we read today. It's to understand how we participate in his kingship. It's to understand how we are to fight this battle. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you carried me. In prison and you visited me. Yes, faith needs to seek understanding. What our students learn here at the University of Dallas is vitally important. But we're not just called to learn about Christ. We're called to be his eyes, his hands, his feet. We're called to look at Christ in the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast, those on the fringes. We're called to look at them with his compassion. But this also extends to our own family, to those we work with, to those we disagree with, to those we dislike, even those maybe whom we hate. We're called to use our feet to move us from our own homes, from our own places of comfort, to move us to those places where we need to serve his people, maybe to those places that we fear, to move us back to those people whom we avoid. We're called to use our hands to bless the world, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to embrace the stranger, maybe to embrace the person who hurt us. This, my friends, is how we fight each and every day the battle against atheism and secularism and all of the other evils of this world. This, my friends, is how we fight for our souls. This is how we participate in Christ's kingship. This is how we celebrate his kingship. This is how we are able to make the world understand, as Lumen Gentium teaches, that Christ's kingdom, the kingdom in which Christ is king, is a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace.
Thanks once again for taking the time to join Deacon Ryan, the people's platform and community where like-minded people come together to gather, pray, and above all, share our love for both God and one another. That's Here with Deacon Ryan.